All right, Chevra, we are up to the middle of Peirik Gimel in Sefer Tanya. We are in middle of page 14. And we left off last week learning about the guided contemplation in the words of the Alter Rebbe, his Hisboinonus. And we began to emphasize last week that this Hisboinonus, which will produce children, it bears fruit, is dafke when we follow the path. And this is a path that the Alter Rebbe delineates many times throughout Hasidus. And that is thinking first about how Hashem is memale kol almin, and we spoke about that last week, and only after we get the appreciation of Hashem, how He fills the worlds, and this is dafke, the lowest level of elikus, which is why it's the easiest to access. That's just the irony that by us, the bigger, the greater, the more, the better. When it comes to our relationship with Hashem, it's mamish and the opposite. Because Hashem is taka greater. But the greater God is, the more of the greatness of God that's revealed, the more distance it is from us. So dafke, the lowest level, so to say, the level of godliness that underwent the greatest amount of tzimtzumim, and therefore, even without a lot of effort, we can relate to it. We can appreciate its greatness and its beauty and its wisdom, etc., etc. So that is the first hisboinenus. Both the words are kishem hisboinen, and then you have to have umamik. You have to deeply think about the greatness of Hashem, that Hashem is memale kol almim. That's page 14. And then how Hashem is soiviv kol almim. So soiviv kol almim is contemplating that no matter how much of Hashem you can experience, that's the lowest level of Hashem, and God is always greater. So unlike in any other relationship, that the more you know, the more you know, the more you connect with. By Hashem, God is unknowable. God made some of Him knowable. So that some you have to know. But you have to always remember that God is much greater than that. And Hashem is what we call is Soiviv Kol Almin. You know, there's a Gevaldik theme in Hasidus that when Leah named her sons, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And there's a sequence here. And it's a step, there's a four-step program. Not the 12-step program, it's a Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And you cannot skip a step. If you skip a step, you miss it. Reuven comes from the word seeing. What part of God could we see? Mamish. We can see God as He is in nature. We see nature. So when you look at nature and we understand that this, you're seeing an expression of God, you see God. What is Shimon? Shimon is hearing, Shmiya. Hearing is needed for things that cannot be seen. What is it that cannot be seen? If we're speaking about human vision, a human being can only see things that are like him or her, Gashmi. I'm a physical person, so I can only see things that are similarly physical. My physical eyes cannot see something that's ruchniistic. Even music cannot be seen because it's already more refined than the physical, than the tangible. So only after a yid is able to see God, and you have to spend time. Some people have to live with that for a few months, trying to see God in everything. And then they have to spend another step, and that is contemplating that what we are able to see is the lowest level of Hashem. And Hashem is greater than that. You can't jump to the greater before you appreciate what you could understand. It doesn't work that way. In other words, when you appreciate the greatness of a person, and then you're told that what you appreciate, that's nothing in comparison to what that person really is. Then you are really impressed. If you didn't see anything to begin with, oh, that person is great, but you can't grasp their greatness, then it's not going to affect you. It's not going to move you emotionally. You're just saying it's beyond you. Okay, so it's beyond me. So if it's beyond me, what's the point of even trying to get it if it's beyond me? But when you do get it, and then you also understand that what we get is something so limited that Hashem is soivev, that brings about a tremendous amount of additional awe. And Hasidus actually says that when you see, seeing gives birth to the feeling of Ava Hashem. Because Ava is something that you can relate to, something that is near you, something that you can understand. Yira, I'm in awe of something that I don't know. Even fear, people fear what they don't know. So it mamash fits. So really, the knowledge of seeing God is going to give birth to some sort of feeling of connection, ahava. The understanding that God is beyond my understanding, and for that I have to have understanding, and then chab, that God is greater, that will make people like us have a certain amount of yiras Hashem.
Did you explain what Levi and Yehuda is?
So Levi is that only after a person has real Ava and Yira, then when I do a mitzvah, we're doing mitzvahs anyway, but we don't do it with real Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem. But if a person does a mitzvah with Ava and Yira, when I have love to God and I have respect to God, then when I do a mitzvah, I'm going to feel a sense of pleasure that now I'm together with God. If I don't love God and I'm not in awe of God, I'll do the mitzvah. I'm not going to feel anything when I do the mitzvah.
What's the translation of?
Levi is connected. Connection. Yeah, Leah said when she had Levi, now my husband will be with me. Because Reuven, Shimon, I can handle. I have one hand, another hand. That's the Lashon of Chazal. By the way, the third child, Hapam, you love the Ishelai. Now my husband will accompany me. So accompanying me in this context means the feeling of pleasure while we do a mitzvah. That's the whole theme. The Alter Rebbe was meeting Yidden. Most people that came to see the Alter Rebbe were people that were observant already. The Alter Rebbe didn't interact bi'ikir with Jews that were not observant. What's the challenge of an observant Jew? I'm keeping the mitzvahs. I don't feel it. It's not doing anything for me. It's becoming just out of rote. So the Alter Rebbe's main goal was to inspire people. And the Alter Rebbe emphasized this time and again. The only way you can be inspired with Yiddishkeit is by spending time thinking about, first, the greatness of God that you can relate to. Mamish. And that is Mamali Kol Alma. Tell a person, wow, do you know that God is beyond the world? You're not going to have any feelings towards God, because if you begin with beyond, if it's beyond, so it's beyond, I'm finished. But when you do get a feeling of connection with seeing God in nature, many people do that. Many people, mamish, spend time looking at nature. Tzaddikim used to do it. They would push it, go out at night more than a day. It's something foreign to us because we are unable to because of living in a city. But if you were to live in a place where there's very little light on the earth, looking up to the heavens is mamash a sugula of getting a feeling of closeness to God. Because it's great, it's vast, but you can see it. You see there's something out there that is amazing. Soiviv is even greater than that, but you can't begin with that. But after a person starts to feel as he sees God, then you can hear, you know what? God is even greater than that. And then there's also a certain amount of awe. And then you do the mitzvah. And when you do the mitzvah, you're going to feel a certain amount of pleasure. So now comes the question, what can be greater than that? If a Jew has love of God, a Jew has awe of God, a Jew has a feeling of mamish joy and pleasure while doing a mitzvah, what's Yehuda? What can be even greater? What do you think? Because there's step number four. Yehuda is way greater. But you can't jump to that.
knowledge or acknowledgement?
If you have Avas Hashem, and you have Yiras Hashem, and you have joy, and you feel it, you're doing a mitzvah, you're feeling that you're connected with God, what are you going to have after that? You know, the traditional taich of Yehuda is not going to help you. You have to think, like, what can be greater? What is greater than that? What else is there?
Then what? Can you repeat that? Because it's Reuven, Reul, the sea.
Okay, so let's come back. Just go quick. Just stepping. Alter Rebbe is, he says this so many times that we shouldn't just get habituated and not and ignore it. Alter Rebbe says that if a Yid wants to feel for God, I'm answering your question, they have to spend time seeing God in nature, seeing God in everything, seeing God in a way that anything that you see that is of beauty, you have to see God in there. Because that's the emes. God is in it. God is making it. It's an expression of God. You have to spend time with that. And when a person does that enough, they'll begin to feel a love for God. Not speak about those. They'll feel. People don't feel a love for God because you can only love something if you know. If you know. So how can we know God? If you're not going to know God, you can't love God. You can't love what you don't know. You can be afraid of what you don't know. You cannot love what you don't know. It's not shayach. So God made himself knowable. Now we can't know Hashem, but we can know some expression of Hashem. What expression of Hashem is knowable? The world. Many people learned chachmas of science and of astronomy and of math to know God, the big tzaddikim, because there's so much wisdom in these chachmas. So they wanted to know God's wisdom, so they learned the wisdoms of the world to get to know God better. It's like going out on a date, you're getting to know God. Think about it. And after you do that for enough time, then you begin to hear God is much greater. You can't see that anymore. That's already hearing. So you know what you could know. You then begin to understand that God is infinitely greater. That will imbue you with a feeling of awe. Makes so much sense. We just don't do it, but that's the way it should work. You'll be in awe. If all of this is mamale, if all of this is the lowest level of godliness, all of the stars up there, the whole nature, wow, then God is taka beyond, then I'm in awe. And now what do I do with these feelings? Bechlal, feelings, if they're only feelings, they evaporate. A feeling has to be used for something. So we take that feeling and we invest it in the mitzvah. So if a person feels for God, a person has respect to God. Okay, so now what? Now I'll do the mitzvah. Because this is what God wants, or this is what God does not want me, and therefore I won't do it. And when I do it, the mitzvah, with these feelings, I'm going to feel joy. Now what's the next step? That's where we're up to. What's the next? Huh?
Tanya, fear and then love.
So fear and love. Right. Then I'm not mentioning something that is written in Tanya, but many of my modem speak about Levi. So Reuven is Ahavas Hashem. Shimon is Yiras Hashem, only hearing. Levi is now the feeling of being together with God. What can be greater than to feel that you are with God? What emotional experience can be greater if you love God and you have respect for God and you have joy that you are with God? What comes after that? Think.
To acknowledge it?
You have to say this in a way different way. Okay. See, you're going the right path because you're just going back to the word Yehuda and you're going to be right.
Okay.
Commitment.
Like
acknowledge,
like marriage, like it's
right.
Like the next commitment.
No, we're committed, right? No, one second. Let me take a back step back. Nachum, the Alter Rebbe is speaking to committed Jews. He's speaking to people like us. We can always be better. We're more or less committed. I'm not saying that we're perfect. We're committed. We're committed. We're doing it. Problem is, we're not doing it with any feeling, or we're not doing it with enough motivation. We're not motivated. Motivated means feelings. So the Alter Rebbe is in, he says, if you want to do mitzvahs with feeling, you have to love God. Okay, so how do I love God? You have to see God in everything that you see that is beautiful. You got to see God in it. Hashem is in everything.
Make others see it.
No, no, I'm talking about you. You love a beautiful house? Good, see God in that.
Move in.
You don't even have to move in. You can look at it. Amen. I'm not against moving in. In other words, to see Hashem in the tree, to see Hashem in the forest, to see Hashem in the water, to see Him in the heavens, to see Him in the earth, to see Him in the stars. When you spend time doing that, you mamish begin to feel for God.
So you're saying what comes next?
So we went to the
advocate for God.
What feeling?
You want to make Him a part of you.
That's Levi. You want to make Him a part of you, that's Levi. Levi is union with God. Hapam yelove isha elai. Now my husband, meaning God is with me, He's with me. So listen to the next emotional step. Now, this step is already a little bit out there.
And we should have thought of it. Like...
No. You maybe. Most of us, when we think about having a motivation, or we're thinking about having an experience, there's a paradox. It's about I love God and I have awe of God and I have joy that I am with God. The next step is not to experience self at all. Many people take drugs for that, but a complete bittul. A complete bittul.
I was going to say bittul, but bittul is surrender. You surrender.
It's not the act of you surrendering. There is a mode of surrendering. The mode of surrendering is a painful act. I'm not talking about surrendering. Think about times that in your lives that the experience that you were having was so beyond you that at that time you were not aware of yourself. Mamish. You didn't have a sense of time. You didn't have a sense of space. You were not even aware while you're having the experience that you're having an experience at all. Only when it's over, you say, wow, that was bigger than me.
So that's a form of acknowledgement.
Okay, Matanai. That's Yehuda. Yehuda means that Levi is a Jew. I'm having a joyful moment with God. If it's I'm having, it's already not Yehuda. It's not yet Yehuda. You can't go there. You can't skip there.
It's doing, since you love and you see everything as God, you're going to do everything God wants, even if it compromises, you put yourself aside. So there's no me.
Yehuda is not that act that you're talking about. You're talking about that I have my desires and my wants, but I'm going to put myself on the side because God is more important than me. That's not Yehuda according to Hasidus. That is needed before you have Reuven. That's observant Jew. Every observant Jew was doing just that. The whole shot of an observant Jew is, I'm not motivated yet, or if I'm motivated, good. If I'm not motivated, I'll do it anyway. That's like the Moida Ani. That's the beginning of everything. Abba is what you said. Okay. The end of everything is that you're not working on yourself to put yourself on the side. A human being is able to be connected to something so much greater than him or her, that while they are connected to that, they cease to experience self. This is mamish, Adam and Chava before the sin. They're mamish to have no self-awareness. There's no self-awareness. When people are on that level, people intuitively will do the mitzvahs without even knowing that they're doing the mitzvahs. A person becomes a pure channel to God. It's like a tzaddik. A tzaddik is in that mode. For the majority, it's very heavy to be in that place. There's no self-awareness at all.
But so they act crazy?
Huh?
Like they'll do things in public that most people won't because they're not aware?
When a person is not aware, then something overtook them. A tzaddik is being overtaken by Hashem, and nothing inappropriate will be done. Lahavdil, a person, God forbid, some people meditate to get there. There's certain meditations, transcendental meditations. People get there, people, God forbid, take drugs. not to have a trip, to reach a place where there's no self. People have that. It's a very lofty experience. It's not a safe experience, and it's not holy if you're not connecting yourself to God, because then you're open to what, to something. If it's not you, then it's something or someone. It can't just be not, because you are. Just it's no longer you. Many people who do these things in a non-kosher way, they get possessed with demons. Dibuk, that's where people can be possessed because they have no self-awareness.
How will someone know that they're possessed?
Their husband will tell them. And their wife will tell them.
So seemingly the Reuven Levi and Shimon and Levi are like on one sphere and Yehuda is like all the way over there.
Very good, 100%.
So how do you reach that?
It somehow gets there. Now, let's speak about here, contemplations. So that's the way I understand it. There's Mamali Kol Almin. That's going to generate Avas Hashem. The Alter Rebbe doesn't write it so clearly. He puts everything together. But these are themes of the Alter Rebbe in many Maimonim. When a person contemplates that God is greater than whatever we know, the person will feel Yiras Hashem. And then the third meditation is V'kula Kamei Kaloi Chashev. Kula Kamei Kaloi Chashev means that in God's perception, we don't even exist. So who just asked, how do we get there? The closer we get to God, if we merge with God, the emes, then what will end up happening is that we will see things the way God sees things. And there is a certain high level of godliness. You know what God sees? God.
Is that where God wants us
no.
to get to?
No.
Like a mala.
God does, one second. That's a very good question. God does not Dafka not want us to constantly live there. But if a person were to have this experience, let's speak about once a year, mamish on Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah, or very few moments, that will empower the person, will motivate the person, when they're not on that lofty level, to still feel love and fear of God.
It's once that connection happens, you can't like break it.
Once that connection happens, you're not going to be there the whole time,
right.
But you can't unknow that.
Right.
I would say that almost every person that I know, if you think about your whole life, you can always look back, maybe not on this level, that there was one experience that I had, that mamish, I felt godliness, or you had an experience. You don't feel it now, but at least you remember it. And it does something to you. Chassidus speaks a lot about the fact that why was there only one Matan Torah? Because you don't need more than one Matan Torah. It's not needed more. That means that was such a powerful experience that even though I don't remember being there, being that I was there, and you were there, it has enough of effect until now to inspire me to do what I need to do. Because by Matan Torah, for example, we had that experience collectively. We had that experience so deep that you know what that did to us? We physically died. In other words, we were so not self-aware that the self ceased to exist. There was no self. I'll give you another example. How do you explain Moshe Rabbeinu not eating for 40 days and 40 nights? How is that possible? He did not pass away. But he was on such a high level of this type of, there was no self-awareness. When a person is in that phase, you don't need to eat. The body doesn't need to eat. Didn't eat, he didn't drink, he didn't sleep. He was like in a suspended begashmias. And it's not that he was out. He was so on. He was so enlightened. He got the whole Torah then.
That's the thing. It's like being on a high.
It's like being on a super, super high. Correct. We're not meant to be there, but we are meant every now and then to go there, to come back down with new intelligence. We get real chachma then. To get a better capacity of feeling and to remain motivated even when we're not on a high. There's a concept in Kabbalah called Ratzoi Veshuv. Ratzoi Veshuv means it's a movement that we all undergo. We're going up and we're coming down. We're going up to something more spiritual, and when we get there, we say, no, this is too spiritual. Then we want to be very earthy. Then when we get very earthy, say, this is too coarse. Let me go up. So people are constantly going up and going down and going up and going down. And we need both movements. We need both movements because God wants us to live here. So if a person goes too much ratzui, they're not doing what God wants from them. When a person does tshuv, if they're not going to go back up, then they're going to lose their connection to God. They're not going to have any feeling for Yiddishkeit. They're going to lose any feeling for something ruchni.
So it's really keeping a balance of some sort.
So it's keeping a balance and being in control of it. That's even better. In other words, if a person, I think all of us, Ratzi Veshuv is the origin of all of the emotional disorders of becoming very happy and very sad. Very happy is Ratzi. Very sad has to do with being very realistic. There isn't a single person that will experience joy when they're very realistic. All joy is the capacity that we look at reality, but we say, but it's going to be better. So that's why I'm happy. There isn't a person, things can be a lot better. When things get a lot better, you become accustomed to it and you want more. And that's good. So it is the vision of the future, the hope. The hope is ratzui. And then people become too fantasy-like. And we got to be real. Then you go down, you crash down. Then you get saddened. You get verengt. So, and we need both. We need both. Just being too down to earth is too depressing. Just living in fantasy, a person, God forbid, can stop doing anything. You can make believe you already, you're Napoleon Bonaparte. There's nothing to do. You're the king of France.
Sometimes being on that high keeps you very motivated.
That's right.
Motivated to keep doing.
That's very good.
Because then when you come down, I'm just in the ordinary world again.
No. You're motivated to do something in the ordinary world. I would say if a person gets too high, they can be very motivated, but then they lose touch. It's like you have to know the room. When you walk into a room, and people, I'm not saying they're sad, people are in a certain mood, and you walk in there drunk in the seventh heaven. So if you're just like one step above, you'll elevate everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're 20 steps above, you're going to irritate everyone. But you ever see that?
So, you know, a few steps above.
So there's a limit. In other words, there's a place, and that to stay there, you yourself, you're going to go even higher, then you have to come down to that place. I'm not saying that you should go up that high, nor that you should go that low. I'm saying that the concept is, the goal will be that we should be in control of these movements. Not naturally, I have my happier days, I have more sad days, I have my spiritual days, I have my material days. That's going to happen whether I make an effort or not, but then it's not up to me, and that's not ideal. I can get a handle on it. Not to get a handle on it to stop any of it. No, this is a healthy flow, but to be in control of the flow. And we do that, let's speak about Yiddishkeit and motivation for mitzvahs. When a person spends time thinking about Mamali Kol Almim, they're going to mamish feel love for God. Every person on their level. When a person only afterwards thinks about Soiviv Kol Almim, they're going to feel Yiras Hashem. They'll have a tremendous amount of awe.
When it says Almim, is it referring to
all the worlds?
Physical world, or is it referring to
all the worlds? I don't know other worlds. So for me, Mamali Kol Almim means this world. But let's say there's a person that they have a real ruchnizdik experience. Even there, that's Mamali. Means whatever, as long as I know that no matter how great of an experience I have, how much of wisdom I think I chapt, that God is not just a little bit smarter, that Hashem is infinitely smarter. Ooh, infinitely smarter makes me, is very humbling. Very, that's yira. And when you contemplate that kula kamei kaloi chashiv, that there is a level in God where it's only God, that the creation didn't happen, b'chol.
Still,
God is above time. So there's a level above creation. When you become, when you connect to that, you don't exist. Not that you humble yourself or you acknowledge. I acknowledging that's Moida Ani. I'm a normal person. I have a sense of self. I know me. And I acknowledge God. That's Moida Ani. The Yehuda of this mimer, which is connected to Kula Kamekele Choshu, I am not doing anything. There's zero I. It happens. It overcomes me. It's not something that I do. It's something that happens to me. But it's only going to happen to a Yid if he had Reuven and Shimon and Levi. It's an avoidam. Then it happens to them. And it's a moment. It's a moment of enlightenment. It's a gavaldika level. We're good? Makes sense. Now we just have to do it. People don't do it. They're learning about it, then there's doing it. At least we learn about it.
But it takes a lot of time and effort. It doesn't happen in 1 second.
Slow down. Make me interested in, it doesn't excite me.
No, it excites. It just seems like you need to designate time to go into nature, to be there, to get to a certain level, to then connect.
You're going to come back down is
why even?
Doesn't even make any sense. It's like, why would you come back down? And if you do come back down, it's...
Oh, hold on. Okay. So that's a good question. You have to have a good answer. So I'm gonna go to you first. We have a mission here. In other words, unless a person chooses not to believe in Hashgacha Pratis, I believe that I was put here by God. Which means I was put here for a reason. It's the same thing. If I was not put here by God, then I'm an accident. Then there's no reason. That's a suicidal thought. This leads to suicide because then there's taka no purpose. I believe that I'm put here for a reason. Even if I don't yet know exactly what my purpose is, but I'm here for a purpose. So that's before all this. So once I'm here for a purpose, I gotta live my life. So let's speak about we're from a people. Our general purpose is we're younger people still, that our bigger purpose is to build a Jewish home. And to not only practice Yiddishkeit, but to practice it in a way that our children and grandchildren will keep on practicing Yiddishkeit. And it's nice to know we didn't begin this. This is for thousands of years. God wants this to happen. God chose our people. How many Jews are there? Hardly anyone. We're an elitist club. That's my general mission. If a person is challenged with emunah in that, this is not addressing that. But once a person accepts that, the challenge is, okay, thank you very much, I have a mission, but I'm not inspired. I believe it, so what? It's not enough. I need my min, but I'm not inspired, I'm not excited. I want to go back to you, I'm not excited. So before you get excited about mitzvahs, you have to love God. That's the beginning of the beginning, here. How do I love God? You have to know God. You cannot love God if you don't know it. How am I going to know? How am I going to know God? So you're saying you need to designate time. First of all, it will be nice to spend designated time in learning Hasidus, because it's always going to be speaking about God and this God and that God. So you get to know God.
No, it's all connected. You need time for this. You need time to daven. You need time.
But I'm saying, but seeing this mindset of I'm beginning with the premise that beauty and intelligence and art and anything that I consider the qualities is a limited expression of God. The lack of God, or when Hashem is hidden, that is where there is foolishness. What's foolishness is not a thing. Stupidity is not a thing. It's just a lack of intelligence. If something is lacking beauty, bederech memelet, the gashmi per se is ugly. The default is ugly. Effort has to be made for beauty. So if anything that I see that is of beauty, I automatically educate my mind to say, now I'm seeing a little expression of God. This is Hashem's beauty that I'm able to see. You see nature the whole day.
It's a mindset. You have to be conscious.
You have to be conscious of it. Correct. That's an effort.
You see people that everything they touch, they feel, they notice.
But certain people
are not sensitive.
Certain people are trying to see beauty, which is also great. That's already great. But that's not Yiddish. Jewish is to see God in the beauty. People can see beauty and they can disconnect it from God.
First you need Bechlal to see the beauty.
Okay.
Then you have to know that this beauty is from God.
It comes together. I would say that maybe the reason why many people are not that much aware of beauty is because they're not looking for God. Right. You're saying people look for beauty. I don't want to look for beauty. I want to look for everything. I want to look for beauty. I want to look for intelligence. I want to look for art. I want to look for music. All this is from Hashem. In other words, I'm looking for God. Now, I have to begin with knowing that God cannot be seen, but I can see some of God's koyach. Let me at least see God's koyach. And now you'll see him every place. It's a way of thinking. I think that learning Hasidus, if not every day, once a week, helps a person go in that direction. So you're not motivated enough even to go down that path. What motivated the people to whom the Alter Rebbe spoke, just to know most of them, they were people that were keeping the mitzvahs and they wanted to get it. They wanted to feel it. They wanted to enjoy it. They were motivated. It's like, imagine you have a job and you have to stick to the job because that's where you make your panos. You're there. So then you say to yourself, listen, if I'm anyways condemned to this job, I might as well enjoy it. How do I enjoy it? So that was just for many people came to the Alter Rebbe that way. I'm keeping mitzvahs. I'm doing it, but I'm not enjoying it. I'm not getting it. I want to get it.
But some people end up leaving their job as a result.
Some people leave their jobs in America because they have such an option. Going for it, like the people that spoke to the Alter Rebbe did not see it as an option to stop being observant. That can be one, like what got you started on that path. There can be many other reasons why you can start down that path. But I still think that's a very valid reason. For anyone who's frum, you have to say, I'm frum anyways. I might as well, it's like, if I'm doing it anyways, I might as well get it. I'm not getting it. For me, that's a motivation. I relate to that. So the other, wouldn't you want to have a spiritual experience? Wouldn't you want to figure out how to get high without having to take drugs? I mean, that's such a shaloi l'shma. But I'm saying it.
But then going back to the whole Yehuda, you'd have people that say, very nice. We can last that long for half an hour, a day, 2 days, Yom Tov, whatever it is. But then, you know. You have to get back to reality.
We want that. That's true. We want that. We don't want to be in Yehuda phase the whole time. God does not want us to be there. So I'm saying there are certain very high experiences that we're not meant to live there for good. We're only meant to go there every now and then to get another injection of koyach.
So why is the whole Tanya about reaching a level of bittul if we're not supposed to stay there?
The Alter Rebbe is not saying that. No, fakert. He's speaking about three contemplations: Mamali, Soiviv, and Vekulakamik Alei Chashivi. That's very well balanced. The Alter Rebbe is gonna. The goal of the Tanya is to give me the tools that I need to succeed in being observant. Don't use the word bittul. Okay. The Alter Rebbe was speaking to people that are keeping the Shulchan Aruch, and every now and then we fail in our area. Why am I failing? Because I'm lacking a tool. He's giving me the tools. And the tools that he will be giving me is the love of God and respect of God. That will be the main tools over here. Not bittul. Also bittul. That you'll see throughout Tanya. Avanira. So now you're asking, I don't even want to love God. Who needs the whole thing?
I mean, there is one level of just doing what God wants without having all the connection.
Okay, so I want to answer that. If a person is doing what God wants and they're a Beinoni, that means that they never fail. They tackle always do what God wants, then they don't need this. They don't need it. You know who needs this? Someone who says, I would like to do what God always wants, that's my goal, but in A, B, C, D, E, in those areas, I'm more or less okay, but in the other areas, I have a big Yetzer Hara, I just can't do it. It's too hard for me. Can't do it. And what do you tell a person who tells you that whatever they are supposed to do is too hard for them? There's no love. When there's a feeling of love, there's nothing that's too hard. When doing things are difficult, there's two solutions. Not just don't do it, or to have a certain passion about it. Because when you care about it, it's easier to do it. Mamash easier, right? Say you have a little house. If there's love, you can fit. What's the Lashon? There are many languages.
There's room in your home.
You know what? It's not comfortable. You're right. Theoretically, if it's just about Gashmias, it's not comfortable. But the moment there is another layer on the surface, it changes reality.
It's very hard to stay in a level of constant love, because if you compare it to a human example, nice. So at the beginning it's all starry-eyed, but then you get into a living mode where the person can really irritate you at certain times. It's very hard to keep to that level of love constantly.
Very good, very good, very good, very good, very, very, very good. So the Alter Rebbe is going to be addressing all these things. First of all, when we're speaking about having a real, let's say, human emotion vis-a-vis Hashem, it won't be constant the whole time. And that's not the glasses, but not machines. So it's going to vary. So some days people are going to feel more Ahava. Some days people are going to feel more Yira. Some people, Bechlal, will feel less. Sometimes people are going to feel as a level of joy and pleasure. Who knows, once in a while, once in a lifetime, there'll be an experience of complete Kula Kamek Aloy Chashiv and Achanami. But as long as, you know, it's part of our goal, should be, the question is, you need to be motivated to be motivated.
Exactly.
So you have to figure out, there has to be the right motivation. But the person has to figure out how to motivate themselves to get motivated in keeping mitzvahs. Because the goal is for me to keep all the mitzvahs. The challenge that most people have is that some mitzvahs are mitzvahs in which for me it doesn't work. It's hard for me.
What if as a result of challenges or difficulties you're feeling anger or hate? How do you turn that into love?
Towards God?
Yes. How do you turn that into love?
You have to deal with it. Very good, very good, very good, very good. In other words, not just, I think that we're living in a society now that people go to therapy a lot. It's very helpful to understand it. People that are, if a person says, my feet don't always function well, let me cut off my feet. Is that a good solution? No. Fix your feet. If there's a limb that's not working well, the solution is not to cut it off. The solution is to be masakin it. Yeah. If a person is like a European person that was educated bechlal not to be in touch with his or her emotions. So they're not going to have hate. They're not going to have love. But that's not a life. They're missing a limb. We have to start using the emotions in the service of God. Not just doing mitzvahs. I have to feel for God. Yeah, of course, the moment I'm opening up the Pandora's box, 100%, the Alter Rebbe is going to speak about this. But that's new, that's good. That means it's real. You can argue if no one had those feelings, then it's not real. The Alter Rebbe was not speaking to tzaddikim, he's speaking to people like us. But he was speaking to people that didn't need motivation to be motivated. No, they already understood, I wish I had some feeling for God. I don't feel enough for God. The proof is, what he wants from me is too difficult. I mean, I don't have love. So the Alter Rebbe says, before you speak about loving a mitzvah, you got to take a step back. You have to love God. Then, naturally, the love to God will be about the mitzvah. Mamish, when the husband, when the wife, when they ask you to do something, if you would love them, you would be motivated to do it. You don't have to love what you're doing. They love what you're doing. You have to love them. That's what mitzvahs. Many things that Hashem says, if I like what God says, I don't need Avas Hashem. If God tells me to eat a good steak on Shabbos, I don't need Avas Hashem because I like steak. I'm motivated. I'm in.
It's easier.
Yeah, 100%. The challenge will always be, and the mitzvah is that my nature is not to do it. Now, if you're telling me that you are on a madrega, fine. I know that I don't like it, so who cares? God wants it. I'm doing what God wants. If that works 24/7, then Vita, you're good. It's not ideal, but you're good. You're just a machine. That in itself is not good. So you're saying that thinking about this, I don't think it takes that much time. I think it takes a lifetime. But it doesn't have to be. So.
You have to work towards it. I mean,
that's why in most of the Maimarim of the Alter Rebbe, he has these ideas that he speaks about, and then a big bulk of the Maimer, he's going to be repeating the same. It's like a guided meditation to look at the nature and to look at the trees and to look at the water and to look at the heavens. You're reading it. You just read it last week in another Maimer. Yeah. It's like when you have these meditations that you plug in, that you follow a guided meditation. They're not telling you.
Meditation goes in every story from years ago. It's when you're walking in the forest. That's when you feel Hashem. Who's walking in the forest? Who has time to go?
So I have a question.
Can I say something? If that's the case, the solution then would be once a week, go out into nature. But do it with the kavana.
Right.
It's not a contradiction. Right. Like by nature, I need nature. But I have to connect. I want to be close to God. And it's.
How long does that last? That's the question.
How long does it last?
When you're in nature, yes, you go for a nice hike, you go look at beautiful scenery, you feel it then, and it may motivate you for that day or even that week, but then you need more of it.
You need more of it, but let me tell you a theory. This is a theory. There was a Lubavitcher, I bought his guided meditations. His name is Rabbi Wolf. He's from Melbourne, or from Sydney, I think from Melbourne. So he also got very well educated by certain sciences. The one with the birds, yeah. So what does he do? He has a guided 30-minute meditation. Good. It's to make you calm. But then he claims that if you listen to it every day for 40 days, then he does the same thing in 3 minutes. And he claims that if you were to do the first 30-minute ones for 40 days in a row, and you reach a certain level of calm, then you will be able to achieve the same calm by going through the 3-minute one. But if you'll just do the 3-minute one, you're not going to get anywhere. And then he has, after that for 40 days, he has up 30 seconds. It's a kitzur of a kitzur. You get that? It's a kitzur shel kitzur.
It's about a state of mind.
It's about das. We're going to learn about it here. Once you created the path of getting to a certain feeling, you're right. In the beginning, you'll have to make a greater effort. But when you repeat it, and then you repeat it.
But doesn't talk about Hashem.
That meditation is not about God, correct? I'm just talking about the concept. I'm agreeing with you that it could be, I would say like this, if a person goes on vacation and they go to a place of beautiful nature and they go there with the kavana, not just to have a vacation, I want to feel close to God. Oh, and you'll feel that. You'll feel that. There's no way you see God in Gavaldik. Just connect God to nature. You'll feel God. Then it's possible that even if you don't spend all those times, when you'll see that again, you'll get back to there very quick. Because it's already ingrained in you. And that's really the whole end of the third chapter that I keep on alluding to. And that's the third letter of Chabad. So we spoke so much about Chochmah and Bina, how they're different. Das is not an enemy with Chochmah or with Bina. Das is an intellectual power to take something and to deeply engrave it inside your mind to the level that it becomes one with you. Which is not much what we're talking about. That means that in the beginning, for me to really experience Ahavas Hashem, you're right, it's going to take a lot more effort. But it doesn't mean that forever, only after I do that big effort, no. I'll have to do that effort for a while. But if I keep on repeating it, that's why all of the davenings, all the words are repeated. Why are we repeating? Because if I had the good fortune of one time davening and feeling, when I'm going to repeat those same words, it's going to be a lot easier for me to get back to that same emotional place. Mamish. I heard techniques of people that have anxiety. So when they feel calm, they're told to do something like press your thumb. I'm giving you techniques. Why? Because if you do something while you have a certain emotional experience, then it's easier
to connect to it
by just doing that again. That's called das. Das means is that you're not having a new experience. You're not understanding something new, but you're engraving it inside of you in a way that you can access it with a lot less effort.
It's kind of like one of the techniques for studying is to relate a word to a certain concept, and once you relate that word to that concept,
every time you hear the word, you got the whole concept. And to get the concept the first time, it could be it took you a big avoidance. And maybe the second time, and maybe the third time, but then there comes a place where you have gone down this path so many times. Now it's inside of you, and it's a lot easier for you to it's accessible. It's not going to be so fleeting. If not, you get it, and then you lose it. You get it, and then you lose it. So then that's called das.
But does this relate like to the learning of Torah, Chassidus, and Gemara that you repeat it over and over? 100%.
In the context of feeling for God. In the context of learning about a topic, then you would have to learn the same topic over and over. But it doesn't mean that. The fact you open up a Sefer, for many people, just opening up the Sefer automatically puts them in a certain spiritual place. Already more elevated. Why? Not the other person can open up the same Sefer. Because it happened that after many times of making an effort and feeling something after learning for many hours, that's already engraved in you.
My teacher, Ms. Yaakov, used to say, you're not in the mode of davening, just hold the Siddur. Just hold it. Because so many times that you daven, something you're going to feel.
That's accessing Das. In other words, she's going on the premise that if I davened in the past and a few times I had a good tefillah, then just holding the Siddur already got me at least a little bit there. Mamish.
She was hoping that it'd make you want to daven.
Yeah.
But even if it doesn't, there's an emes to it. Unless, God forbid, right. That person never had a good davening. Never. So holding the Siddur is like holding a book. God forbid, so then it won't do anything. So there's Chachman Bina about God in the world. You're right, in the beginning, I think that, at least in yeshiva for the guys, we spent officially, our simcha spending 3 hours a day learning Chassidus. That's what he's learning about how God is in the nature, and something goes in, it takes a long time, something goes in. But that the advantage is that later he can access it a lot quicker.
I have a question regarding what you said before, that the Alter Rebbe wrote this in the time for specific types of people. But he wrote it for
everyone
in his time, right?
He wrote it for everyone. No, I take that back. He wrote it in the intro.
I understand what you're saying. The question is, how do we apply it today when times are... Although we probably have similar intellectual struggles, but how do we apply it today in times that are totally different?
I think that today, the opposite. I see that the world today is so much more open of being motivated to have motivation. In other words, it used to be that really people, they were at least you were so busy with the burdens of life. Push it. Mm-hmm. Work, both for a man and for a woman, was so much harder. You imagine you have no running water? How do you run a home? And people used to work 12 hours in the fields. It was so exhausting that people could not afford the luxury of dwelling into their emotions. I think the opposite. I think we're living in a world, you find me, yeah, like I'm trying to, who cares if we care? You show me one human being that wants to live a life doing things that they don't care about. No one wants that anymore. Everyone says, if I'm not going to have, not everything in my life has to be filled with passion, but I need to be passionate about something. That became almost like a human right. Everyone says, I don't deserve that. Everyone wants to feel.
I think we're dealing with the opposite, that there's so much spare time and so much connection to emotions that people don't want to feel, so they're looking for escapes.
No. You think people don't want to feel, and people want to feel. People want to feel. I think the problem is that people don't find the passion that they want in their responsibilities in life. So they need to feel that by watching a movie, watching someone else's feelings.
But it's a distraction.
That, of course, because you have to get that feeling from your life. How terrible is it? A person is married. Find me a couple that they don't want to have feelings in the marriage. It doesn't exist anymore. So why should Yiddishkeit be different? Everyone, of course, if I'm doing it, I want to feel it. If not, what am I doing? Not, God forbid, that I'm saying that if you don't feel it, you shouldn't do it. No. But we're doing it. We want to feel for it. Everything. The whole world is so open to this. To the point that it's almost needed. It's almost needed. It's hard to tell the next generation, do it. We tell them, do it, but we have to imbue feeling. Now, could be that if they witnessed one yid in their world that was doing the mitzvah with feeling, that's a good thing to see. But it's like watching a movie. I don't want to be excited with your experience. I don't want to watch a movie of you going to Mount Everest. I want to go to Mount Everest. Even in a selfish way, I want to have an experience. Begin with the selfishness. Like, why? Abbas, that doesn't answer your question. Like, selfishly, why would you not want to have this feeling? Get a person a car. You don't have to be excited about it. Just any car. Most people, no, I want to be excited about it. You want to go on vacation? Go over there. Go down the block. Go on vacation over there. No. It has to be beautiful. It has to be there. Good for you. Why shouldn't Yiddishkeit be the same thing? This is the schmat in our life. I don't care about them. No, this is what we care about. We're spending
because going to the ocean or to a country where you see, I don't know, the transparent rivers is so much more tangible than something that you have to work hard to attain.
So therefore, Dr. Rebbe is saying, Gavaldik, you are going to the river, to the transparent waters. Don't psychologically go with the attitude that experience is disconnected from Yiddishkeit. This is a spiritual experience. Even the stupid Goyish world advertises that way. They're already using the word spirituality with everything. They're using the word peace. What is peacefulness if not God? The world is a place of chaos. Peace is God. Shalom is God's name. So they're atheists, but they stole everything from God. So, wisdom, enlightenment, peace, happiness, joy, pleasure. This is God. They believe in God, but they took God's name out. Chutzpah. Because no one knows God. We know God's fetus. That's God's fetus. We just mentioned them. It's pleasure and beauty. That's what it is. In other words, all of these milas are godly. God made them. It's not God. God is in them. And people want them. So, yeah.
Isn't the whole thing of Buddha just like they don't believe in God, but it's different emotions?
No,
different...
The whole thing of Buddha, according to people that really went down that religion, is that it's the ultimate cult of death. No, is that they advocate at the end for you to be completely cut off from your emotions. That's the end goal of real Buddhism from people that were there for years, and they says it's mamish a death cult. Because it's the opposite of Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit advocates for you to experience every emotion.
Overcome your emotion.
No, there's for you to be disconnected from it.
Overcome anger.
Be disconnected from it. To have no emotions. We are told, have Avas Hashem. Which, like you said, Avas Hashem, you're kidding? You know how Avas Hashem finds expression? Like we are a fellow. One day you'll be loving God. One day you'll be upset at God. All that is Avas Hashem. Means God is real. When you have him to complain to. They made a study, you know, that kids in orphanages, bigashmis, they don't cry. So a guy wrote a whole book, a psychologist. You know why they don't cry? Because people only cry if somewhere they know that someone is looking at their tears. If you, God forbid, if someone is in a place where no one is looking at them, they won't cry.
That's why in first world countries, they stopped orphanages and they started the foster home system because they realized, based on studies, that it's a failing system. So they decided to branch out to a foster home system that